When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Time and King
Fire. Richmond and Carlton, ancient foes, traditional rivals in this game. The opening siren sounds on a splendid Thursday night in Melbourne. You're with Matt Hill on AFL Nation.
What a magnificent build-up. Bouncing ball grabbed by Kemp, who came charging along the wing and then finds Big Harry. The crowd will tell the story. Almost 90,000 at the G. They go up as one.
Jaden Shorts from centre half forward. He'll give it the lots. Blasts it to the goal front. Terrific line. Great carry. Superb goal. Kick the boost to full forward. Charlie! Point blank range. Charlie Curto bangs through his second.
Richmond towards Lynch, and at the back, Kemp didn't take the mark, spills out the back to Dusty. Dusty rolls it through. He's kicked two.
Down to Taranto, across the body and through for a goal.
Tunnels it out, comes out to Chera, out the body, kicks the goal. Lynch dodges Young, has a look at the goalpost, handball to Campbell. Campbell's going to kick a goal. Campbell's put it through in his second game of AFL, and Carlton lead by five.
The ball bobbles around. Poked away by Carroll into clear space. McIntosh spins through, drag of his kick, and Carlton outlast the Gallant Tigers in a thriller for round one. It's Carlton by 5 points.
This is our review of Carlton and Richmond for the Drain Man. Drain problems call the experts, the Drain Man. That was how the team on AFL Nation saw it last night at the MCG, with the Blues holding on by 5 points against a resilient Richmond footy club who had their challenges, particularly behind the ball with Gibkus and Young, and also Prestia being subbed out of the game. David King is alongside of me. Kingy, your first impressions of last night?
Well, great game. First impressions were Carlton found a way to win ugly and win the last two games without their strength area. And that's been, you know, their punished clearance and their ability to be just so much tougher than the opposition week on week. So I think a little break's come at a great time for the Blues, and they now get the opportunity to just tidy up a few areas. They're not quite at their absolute best, but they're 2-0. What a great start.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you touched on this, I think it was quarter time of your analysis last night. What they're doing differently off turnover, the way that they're playing, they've definitely been more aggressive, aren't they, off turnover? There's a little bit of Collingwood about it, just that the eye would tell you that. Swarming at ground level if the ball hits the deck in their back 50 and then go from there. You mentioned the forward handball as well last night. And it's probably the way they've got to play it, but it may take some time, but last night it was effective for them.
Yeah, winning in different ways. It's a real skill, isn't it? I mean, I've heard Craig McRae talk about it at a press conference. It may have been this week, actually. He said, we've just got to find, there's no one way to win a game of footy. Sure, if that strength area is coming through, and we call it the personality of your team. That's what it's labelled at Clubland. This is our personality. Let's be true to it. And I think Carlton's forward handball game got them back in the game in that second term. They were dominant in that second quarter. 3-6. They really should have had a sizable lead at halftime, but it wasn't to be. The Tigers just hung around. They found a way to hang around. The impact of Nankervis, and I know he's a player we've talked about a lot, was profound on this group. It really was. They were humiliated last week at clearance. They got rowed last week, and Witsy did what he wanted in the ruck. to see Nankervis come in, not only did he get clearances himself, but he was just a big presence in there. And his hit out to advantage work was terrific. It was a good battle with De Koning, who responded really well when the game needed him to. But he just makes such a difference, Nankervis, didn't he?
He did last night. So when he's fresh, absolutely, I thought he was big last night. And he led the way. Their on-ball stuff last night was exceptional. They scored from stoppage, dominant in contested ball. And that was really, they really took it up to the Blues, which has been their strength. Michael Voss spoke about that after the game. Can he maintain that intensity and that level of play throughout the year without much help behind him? Because I don't think Naismith and Sampson Ryan are going to be able to give him much of a chop out. That will be the question mark when he's not fresh and when it's the middle of winter and Nankervis is sore and he's tired and he's got to do it again. You're right on De Koning. I thought it was a good challenge for him. I thought his last quarter was excellent. Kicked a big goal, took a big mark behind the ball as well, as did Nankervis. I thought his field play was good as well. Nankervis, what was your thoughts last night? 1-300-736-736. The Blues will have a break. They're going to hope to get Wiedering back in round 3 or 4. And the time frame on Sam Walsh yet to be determined, but they're taking a reasonably cautious approach with him. And then, I mean, what happens for Richmond now? Kingy, I sneakily went to Twitter last night and just suggested their next three is tough.
I saw that.
Like it's Port Adelaide, it's Sydney, it's the Saints. So as good as you were last night and as strong a performance as that was in response and with resilience, it gets hard. So I don't know if you'd tip them. We haven't seen any of Port Adelaide yet, but I doubt they'll start favourites against Port, Sydney or the Saints in their next three. The prospect of 0-5 without getting too far ahead of yourself is real with the injuries that they've got. Just on Richmond, I spoke about this on Classified last night. So with where they are at, I just want to see some youth. So we all remember 2021. They're spruiking the five players that they selected inside 30 of the draft. And was this the heavily invested in the draft, gone to the draft, five players inside 30, which sounds nice. Sounds like you've invested in the draft. But this is what's happened with those players. Tom Brown, we'll start with Gibka. So pick 9, clearly guy can play. It was a good pick. Injury has let him down. 18 games in his first year, looked good. Nothing last year, and now he's not going to play this year. Unfortunate, nothing you can do about that. I think it was a good pick. Pick 17, Tom Brown. He's played one game, he's played lots of VFL football. Don't know a whole lot about him, 26 games in the VFL, but hardly cited at AFL level. Tyler Sonsi, he picked 28 in that draft.
I like him.
I liked him too. Played 7 games in his first year, only 3 last year. Had some suspension and some injury worries, but where is he? Why isn't he playing? Sam Banks, pick 29 in that draft.
I like him.
6 games last year, played in opening round, then was dropped. And Judson Clark, pick 30, played 3 games in his first year, 13 last year, not playing at the moment. That's 53 games from 5 players in 2 and a bit seasons when you told us this was a big draft hole. So I don't want to see McIntosh. I don't want to see Pickett. I don't want to see Broad with where they're at. I want to see Brown. I want to see Sonsi. I want to see Banks. And I want to see Judson Clark. And you can chuck in Cumberland and some others into this mix as well. That's what we need to find out about Richmond.
But so, you're not going to find out about those players if you go too young. They're just going to get hammered. You've got to have structure and support around those guys, or you're just going to walk them into 120-point losses. That serves no purpose.
They're not first-year players now, though, King. They're now into their third season.
They're inexperienced players.
Like, this is the Horn Francis Dacos draft. I mean, I know they weren't selected. No, I was just about to say, they're not selected at the top there, but this is Mitch Owen's draft. This is Van Rooyen's draft. You're not suggesting that Van Rooyen's been chucked out there and thrown to the wolves as a young player?
I'm suggesting that Van Rooyen's got a lot of support around him. If you put Sonsi and Cumberland in there, they wouldn't have had. Lynch has just got back on the park. I mean, the Richmond forward line looks so much better with Lynch just there. It doesn't have to be marking the ball, just as a presence and as a senior player there. If you had Cumberland in there and Sampson Ryan down, it gets very young very quick.
So this now is where their focus needs to go, I think. It's not about Richmond now. Of course, they want to win. They want to get Adam Uzay's first win, and you want to compete every week. But the future of this footy club is going to be decided by these 5 players and a couple of others, because you've traded away your other draft picks. I want to see these players over a Marlon Pickett or a McIntosh or a Broad. Now, I'm not suggesting you play all 5 of them at the same time, but that's the query I've got. Or did they just get get it wrong, or is it too early to decide? I don't know, but there's a balance in there that the future needs to be on display for Richmond Tigers fans. 1-300-736-736.
Let's do selection this week, all right?
Mm.
So who are you leaving out? Let's be real. Let's put some names to it. So clearly Gibkiss and Young are out, and Presty is out. There's three opportunities, but you're replacing Young with Young on two of them. So yeah, Gibkiss clearly he's the shining light. He's a disaster, really. He's the one they couldn't afford to get injured last night.
100%,
and significantly injured like he has been.
Yeah. So then there's no criticism there. I just think they got that pick right. This guy can play. He's exactly what they need. Every time he plays, you go, geez, he's impressive. So there's nothing you can do about that. I'm not suggesting that. Well, it's difficult this week because they got challenges with injury. So how they select the side and who's in form at VFL level, I don't know. Yeah. But we need to soon find out about. So does Marlon Pickett need to play?
It's a good question, but and I think you would have had the same sort of thought process at round one as round three, what you're having now, you would have had in October last year. I actually think, and this is why I admire Malcolm Blight way back when, right? When he walked into the Adelaide Crows, he said, "I'm not sacking these blokes, but I'm not playing them. You walk them out of the joint. I don't want McDermott. I don't want McGuinness. I don't want these other three or four.
Jarman.
Walk them out of the joint. I don't want them because I'm not going to play them. We've got to turn the page and go a different direction." So you don't waste that first season playing sort of ducks and drakes with senior players. "Hey, look, we really love it. I can't get you in the team this week." Yeah, you end up being really a disrespectful football club in a lot of ways. So I think you've got to cut the cord as you walk in as the new coach. Otherwise, you hold the rebuild up for one more year.
Yeah, and I mean, he's in a difficult position because a lot of these list decisions were made before Adam Uze and his time got there. And you don't want to limit the group because if Adam Kingsley had limited what the Giants could do, different situation with their list, but they finished 16th the year before he got there. Now, who would have thought they would have progressed that quickly? A different story with the Tigers. You need to know where your list is at.
So would they have been better off, though, just before you dust over that? Yeah. If they had walked into Dusty and said, "Mate, we love you, Dusty. We love you, but we can get a second round pick for you right now. You can go and play some great footy up north. We're going backwards before we go forwards again, and you're not going to be here when we're launching again." You go, could anyone that say 27, 28, do you do the same with Prestia? Could you get something for Vlosten? Short. So
the model is Hawthorn. Should they have done what Sam Mitchell had done at Hawthorn?
Well, this is the discussion, isn't it?
That's the model. And Sam's going to join us, so I mean, it's not easy.
You can't be 50-50, can you?
These are legends of the club, legends of the game that we're talking about. But for me, that would have been a model that would have fast-tracked where Richmond will need to get back to versus being really competitive this year, finishing 11th, getting a pick that's not really going to be a difference maker for them. But in the meantime, I just think what can they do now after those decisions are made? We've got to find out about Brown, Sonsi, Banks, Clark, Cumberland, Samson Ryan's not up to it, so I understand the reasons he's not playing. But that's the list decisions you have to make, and it's difficult to compete if you're going to be in the quicksand of finishing, you know, to the bottom half of the teams on the ladder.
This is where I get frustrated with this argument or this discussion, right? When you are a premiership contender and a team that's won flags for a period of time, call it 5 years, a six-year window, you don't get any elite picks. I think John Ralph said last night that Gibkiss is the first top 10 pick they've had since Vlosten, which is about 2012 or 13 or something like that. So you just don't get the ability to stack players, though, Cornsy. So you have to go through a dip.
They did trade away four of them. And we can argue whether that was the right thing. I say it's the wrong thing. They traded four away.
And if that's ultimately your point, just say that. Because
I've said that repeatedly.
I know. Yeah. But I'm not going to blame Judson Clark, who was pick 30. For being part of the issue here or Samson.
But now my point is, now you've made those things. I think that was completely the wrong thing to do, but you've made that call. And it's not Adam Uze, it's way before him. Now that you've made that call, what's the future and can we find out about it over Broad, over McIntosh, over Grimes, over Pickett? Yeah. And there's probably a handful of others. 1-300-736-736 if you want to have your say on that. We'll hand the program over to you on the other side of this. Nick, Ray, Johnny, Jack and Jim. You can have your say on the Mimosa Homes open line next.